Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Hello there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. We are coming into the last few weeks of the year where things tend to get a little rushed, a little hurried, a little bit crazy, but we are going to see you through it. We're going to talk you through it. So today we've got a great show for you. We're going to be talking about the Culture Warrior movie, and then we'll be going back. Last Friday, if you listened to Ask Dr. Nurse Mama, I talked a little bit about just holiday survival. And so I've got some more just encouragement for you and talking about this week's healthy habit. And then at the end of the show, you're not going to want to go away because we have someone who got a gift from Operation Christmas Child and wants to share a story of how something as simple as a hair clip really changed her life and showed her affirmation of God's love and concern for her. But first up, we are going to talk about Culture Warrior. Now, this is about Don Wildman, who was the founder of the American Family Association. And I was not fortunate to meet Don. I'm relatively new here to American Family Radio in the last year. And Don was in struggling health when I came on. And of course, he passed away and have had a beautiful tribute to his legacy and his vision for the American Family Association and everything that he did. And you may have heard us talking about a movie, a documentary called Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. And I have great news for you because this is now available for free to the public. Anyone can watch it. You go to culturewarrior.movie. That's culturewarrior.movie. And along with the film, AFA is making available the Culture Warrior Kit for a generous donation. That includes the DVD with bonus features, the commemorative issue of The Stand. If you're watching online, I've got that right here in front of me. You'll see it. A book but that Don wrote called I Had a Vision, God Had a Plan, and a bookmark to go in that book. But we're joined today by MD Perkins, the author, documentary film producer. He produced this documentary, Culture Warrior. He's a research fellow of culture at Church and Culture for the American Family Association. He's done a lot of other documentaries. And if you were listening on October 24th, he went in depth about his story, his testimony, how he came to be working in this space, producing such impactful documentaries, and even how that started with Indiana Jones. So I'm not going to tell you the rest of that story. You'll have to go to the October 24th show and be sure and give that a listen. But MD is joining us today as Culture Warriors being made available to the public. And MD, we're so glad to have you back. And I'd love to hear about how has the reception been going? What have people been saying who have seen this documentary?
Yeah, well, everyone that I've spoken to who's seen the movie loves it, and they are overwhelmed by the memories that it draws. You know, of course, a lot of people at this point who've seen it were familiar with Don in the early days or have connected with AFA at some point in our history, and so they have a lot of memories attached to the history that we're drawing out there. But even people who aren't familiar with the history have found it to be inspiring, because we're trying to make the point that one person can make a difference, that this isn't a matter of just admiring Don from afar, but it's really, you know, everything that we do at AFA is trying to get people involved, trying to get people activated, trying to get people to pay attention to what's going on. And so so even when we make a documentary like this, we're trying to shape it with that call to action in mind. And so it sounds like from those who have seen it thus far, that really seems to be the impact that we're having.
You know, when I talk to people who knew Don, who had met with him, who had worked with him, their admiration for him just shines through when they talk, and they immediately just seem so nostalgic and so grateful for so many things that he did for so many people. And, you know, one of the themes that comes out in the documentary, which I have seen, and I use the word gripping, MD, when we talked about it last time, it really is gripping. There is drama, there is intrigue, there is just a running current of, you know, just kind of anxiety thinking what's going to happen, because it's a very unlikely story about how an unassuming preacher took on titans of big time industry. And really, one of the things that impressed me the most, MD, was Don's continual charge that he wasn't called to be successful. He was called to be faithful, and he was going to be faithful with little and faithful with much. So how do you see that message continuing to resonate?
Yeah, I mean, Don was a fascinating character. As a character in terms of films, I mean, he's a fascinating figure. Of course, he was a real person. And so being able to bring all of those elements to life in the film, I mean, you know, I got into this project. I didn't know a lot about his history, but as I learned, it was fascinating to see all the different angles that he began to focus on in terms of culture. And there's a progression that you see there in the film. And because it begins with a concern over TV, that morphs into a concern about pornography, which transforms into issues of artistic depictions that are influenced by pornography, and then the pushback that then he receives legally as a result of that, and then the homosexual agenda that's starting to flow out into different corporations, and then the Disney boycott is one of those flashpoints in the late 90s where AFA got involved on those issues. You know, as you understand, I mean, you know, the Disney issue is something that's still with us today, you know, very prophetic in that sense. You know, I mean, the things he was fighting against then were seemingly smaller than they are now. But, to have that that kind of prophetic vision that he had is something that I hope viewers will recognize that, the way that it flows out, it's not like we're not treating this documentary like some just memorializing him. I mean, it really is, like you said, it is a story that's developing, and you see people responding to the different takes that he has and concerns that he has in culture. And so that's all of that is trying to come out in the documentary.
And it is really interesting, MD, when you look at his call to action. Of course, for those who haven't seen the movie or didn't, and that's available, by the way, for free at culturewarrior.movie, or you didn't listen to the show on the 24th, it started with him just watching TV with his family, and he saw things that were concerning. And honestly, MD, what person on earth hasn't experienced that? What Christian on earth hasn't experienced that? Watching some sort of media with your family and looking around thinking, wait a second, like, should this really be playing in our home? Like, what do we do about it? Do we just turn it off? Do we do something else? And it was really about his call to action. And another thing that stood out to me, MD, is when he did that, he basically challenged his church. He went to his pulpit and he said, hey, turn off your TV and spend your time with your family. Do something more worthwhile with your time. I mean, that is a message for our times. And looking, like you said, MD, I mean, the worst was certainly yet to come. We didn't have streaming. We didn't have, pornography was still relegated to print. I mean, for the most part, all of these things that have really changed over time. But one of the things that is really interesting is he called his church to do that. And somehow it was picked up in the media, and he was mocked. He was really, he was uneducated, unenlightened, uninformed, backwards, backwoods, pick any negative adjective that you want. Why do you think this country preacher, as he would self-describe himself, made so many people so mad?
Yeah, it is interesting that if people disagreed with them, then they got angry about it rather than just turning off what he was saying. They would always tell him, well, you could just turn the TV off. Of course, that was his initial call, but he didn't believe that Christians should just sit back and passively let these things happen, because we had a duty and responsibility as citizens of this country, as Christians, to love our neighbors. And he recognized that if something is bad for my family, then it isn't just bad for my family, it's bad for my neighbors next door and people in my church and the friends that my children are building relationships with in their schools, and so these influences are going to come in whether or not we turn off the TV or not. And so trying to have a bit of a broader impact and raise awareness about Christians at that point to really pay attention to what they were watching, because I think people had just kind of gotten complacent. And he acknowledges his own complacency that he had gone through at that point, so that that December evening in 1976, when he sits down to watch TV and there's something objectionable on all three networks, and he's bothered, and he's not just bothered because of what he sees, he's bothered by his own apathy that he had gone through and experienced to that point, and realizes that this is a turning point for him personally. And then, you know, hopefully he can get a broader support, and he ends up doing that.
That's a great way to say it. He was bothered by his own apathy. And of course, it was in December. He sat down expecting to see a holiday show, you know, with his kids, just thinking, oh, yeah, let's just sit down together as a family and see something that we can enjoy, and not being able to do that. I think that is one of the forward thinking ways that I see, just in looking in retrospect, not having known him or met him, but seeing his call to action. And that is something that I see today, MD, that I talk about all the time right here every day on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, is for parents to wake up, to stop being apathetic. Don't be apathetic about what your kids are watching, what is streaming constantly on their screens, whether that's through social media, whether that's through video games, whether that's through YouTube videos or other movies that are coming across. I see a lot of parents, we don't want to think about stuff like that, MD, you know, we just want to think, okay, let's just, you know, close our eyes and hold on tight and just hope for the best. But Dawn really gave that message, hey, you can't afford to do that. Because if you, in your apathy, the enemy will pounce. And I think about, you know, the enemy is like a prowling lion looking for those who he may devour. And that comes through media. And so what do you see as the longevity of that message that, you know, that Dawn had, like, don't be apathetic. And then how that relates to even now, how can we not get discouraged by that and think, well, have we learned anything? Have we grown?
Yeah. I mean, it is very easy to just kind of sit back and let things play out. I think one of the more meaningful themes that came out in the documentary as we were doing it was the theme that the culture war was spiritual warfare, and that's how Dawn saw it, that it wasn't just a matter of us trying to get our positions to kind of hold the majority in society. It was an issue of there were spiritual forces at work behind the scenes that were destroying people through these decisions and through this progression of culture, or really erosion of culture, you could say, that was happening. And so the spiritual implications of things like what you watch on TV, because Dawn, you know, very quickly learned that the problem wasn't just sex and violence and an objectionable content on TV. It was really the secular humanistic worldview behind it that viewed sex differently, that viewed violence differently, that viewed life differently, that viewed our responsibility in society differently, and really wanted to marginalize the Christian witness overall and act like we were all just secular people that had no reference for God or religion or anything like that. And so, you know, when he began to speak up and speak out about that, that had huge ramifications for individuals, for church members, for Christians to think about, you know. And so I think the message of the spiritual warfare behind the culture war issues of our day is something that Christians should really start to take more to heart, to take it to prayer, and to cause us to stand up that much more vigorously because of the issues and the implications then on people.
That is one of the themes that I appreciated so much too, because we talk about culture wars, and it is important to fight against those negative cultural influences, MD. But sometimes what I see today is that people get so obsessed about what they're fighting against, they forget what they're fighting for. And that's something I saw clearly in the documentary, that Dawn didn't feel like we win once all those things are defeated and gone, because we know this side of heaven, those things are never going to be completely defeated and gone. It's going to be a continual struggle. But what, oh, it gives me goosebumps to think this, MD. But we win when we win the hearts of our children. We are fighting for our families. And that's something that we cannot forget. That's something that really came through, because not only Dawn fought against culture, but he fought for his family and for every family around him. And that was inspiring. Well, you can see the whole story at culturewarrior.movie. Any last word you want to say, MD?
I mean, you're exactly on. I mean, we're fighting for families. And that's part of why we changed our name from National Federation for Decency to the American Family Association, because there was that bigger picture of what we were doing.
Amen and amen. Again, culturewarrior.movie. It's free to the public. If you want to get all of those extras, you can get those, a DVD and the book and the stand and the bookmark for a donation. You can go to AFA's website, go to culturewarrior.movie. You can find all of that there. And don't go away. When we come back, we'll talk about this week's healthy habit. You won't want to miss it. I'll see you on the other side of this break.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before November 30th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is November 30th. So call now and you'll save even more. Here's the number. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Since our culture's become so morally sick, having defined good as evil and evil as good, is there a cure? When truth's rejected and division results, is there healing? The answer is there can be. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and another Stand in the Gap Minute. To some, the Bible's inspiring, a good book. For others, it's a source of truth. At APN, we lift up the Word of God as the final authority, the only source of truth, never in error, always right. It alone defines good and evil. It alone can point the lost and the wandering to eternal life. Its truth alone, if obeyed, can heal the lonely heart and restore the broken family. Obedience to God's word, the truth alone, can restore our nation and can return God's blessing to us. An absolute cure exists if we embrace absolute truth. Will you join with us at Stand in the Gap Radio and TV and promote the cure of truth? Sign up and stand with us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
I want to dance like David. I want a faith like Paul. I want to sing like Silas, tearing down the prison walls. I want to face that fire. It won't burn me though. God's got my back, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I want to walk like Moses, right through the waves. One day I'll see that promised land, no longer slaves. Though the fear is talking, no, it can't take out my faith. I'm gonna praise, I'm gonna praise. I praise the mountain, moving body, raising breaker of chains. Gonna praise, I'm gonna praise. I praise the heaven seated, undefeated, highest of names. That's who I praise. Hey, that's who I praise. That's who I praise.
Welcome back, friends. That's Who I Praise by Brandon Lake. And we are praising God today for you, our listeners. We're so grateful to have you. We're so grateful to all of you who have participated in Operation Christmas Child. So if that is you, thank you so much for taking the time to pack a box to send somewhere around the world to share the love of God at Christmas time. And listen, if you have a great story about Operation Christmas Child, we'd love to hear from you. So call in. Our producer and staff is on the line. We'd love to hear from you. That number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. So if you want to call and share your story of either participating in Operation Christmas Child or getting a gift, we would love to hear from you. So go ahead and give us a call. But for right now, we're going to talk about this week's habit for healthy families. And welcome to another prescription of hope for healthy families. If you've been listening since the beginning of the year, you know that every week we've had a healthy habit we've focused on, because these are the building blocks, friends. There are no magic cures. There are no instant relationships that are amazing. It takes time. It takes blood, sweat, and tears. It takes effort to build relationships. And so this week's healthy habit that we're talking about is prioritizing memory investments over monetary ones. And I'll be talking more about this specifically in relation to Christmas on Friday. But let me give you a little introduction now. You cannot buy your way into a right relationship, no matter how extravagant the gesture or expensive the gift. Now, all of you are going to say, of course, I would never do that. I would never buy my way into a relationship. But I know I've tried. I'm just going to put it out there and think, when I had a strained relationship with a family member, does it never cross your mind? Well, maybe if I got them just the right gift and they loved it, maybe that would be a new start or something like that. But the truth is, true connection isn't built on things. It's built on time and trust and the intentional work of showing up for each other. Relationships grow when we invest intentionally in shared experiences, laughter, and listen, even the messy, imperfect moments that remind us, hey, newsflash, we're human. It takes effort to listen, to forgive, to create memories that speak louder than any material possession ever could. Those priceless moments, the late night talks, the family dinners, the shared adventures, those are the things that truly bind us together. They remind us that love is not a transaction. It is a commitment to walk through life together, hand in hand, heart in heart. Now, don't get me wrong. Money has its place. We all need money to pay our bills. And I will tell you, that I got super ridiculously excited this year when I bought a washer and a dryer. Yes, I have reached that stage of adulting. It was just like the best thing ever. But here's the thing, when our kids are all grown up, they're not going to say, hey, remember that time we upgraded the laundry facilities at home? Good times. They don't say that, no. They're going to remember the movie nights with popcorn all over the couch and arguing over who is, in fact, taking up more room. That time that someone's dad, maybe it was my kid's dad, I don't know, accidentally used literally 1,500 times more spice than he was supposed to in the shrimp boil for Easter, just maybe, and we just ate rolls, I don't know. Or the epic family road trip where their aunt got lost, their grandpa lost his temper. And my kids certainly remember the time I packed them up to take them all the way across town, only to forget my wallet. We were going to the zoo, and I had to turn around and go back after the only animal we saw was a squirrel in the parking lot. They call that mom fail. But we can laugh about that, and science backs this up. Memories, especially positive ones, they shape who we are. And when families create joyful memories together, it strengthens bonds, it builds trust, and teaches kids resilience. And research even shows that reminiscing about good times can help kids feel more connected and secure, even reminiscing about the bad times that you've been through. Sometimes you think, oh, is it too soon? But after a while, a lot of those bad times really become the best family jokes. I mean, they become the things that you laugh about. And doing those kinds of things can boost our kids' mental health. It can really improve their sense of identity, and it decreases risk-taking behaviors. And that's the kind of investment that pays off forever. So I'm challenging you this week to make memory investments, not just monetary ones. And if you want to make a great memory investment, go shopping for your kids for Operation Christmas Child. You have a little bit of time left. And if you have a story that you'd like to share with my producer, with our staff, we would love to hear from you actually right now at 888-589-8840. If you have a great story about participating in Operation Christmas Child, you can call in at 888-589-8840. We would love to hear your story. We are collecting those. And listen, here is the best news of all. Even if it's for Operation Christmas Child or whatever else you're going to do this holiday season, you don't need to break the bank to make these memories. Sure, honestly, who wouldn't love a big trip to a dream location? Yeah, like we would love that. But that's fun. That's nice. But you know what? So is a backyard camping night with marshmallows and old blankets you've had forever. And that slightly scary story that dad makes up on the spot complete with the scary flashlight effects, right? That's important. So listen, let me give you some easy budget-friendly ideas to start making those memory investments. You think about the monetary investments that you want to make in your kids. You think about paying for them to have a tutor or a coach or the clothes that they need, or, you know, even those things that are essential, like putting a roof over their head, putting food on the table. But how much are you thinking intentionally about making good memories for your kids? So here's four just easy ideas. One is start your own unique family tradition. Just whatever it is for your family, that might be Pancake Saturday, Taco Tuesday, a board game battle on a Friday. Start something simple. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be expensive. In fact, it can cost little or nothing. But what is a tradition that you might want to start? And if you've got kids at home or even older kids, you might want to start a new tradition for the holiday. And people might groan and say, oh, really? Wait, what? What are we doing? Just be bold, be a cheerful warrior, and just do it anyway. Honestly, just be confident. Confidence is contagious, so is joy. And so just start something that is uniquely your family's. I shared earlier that one of my family's traditions is playing minute to win it games at Christmas. Now that has nothing to do with Christmas, but it has everything to do with family bonding. You could also think about doing something like going tech free for a night. I've done this before in my house. I know this one's tough, but trust me, the conversations that happen when everyone's devices are off are worth it. So sometimes I will randomly declare, this is a tech-free Tuesday. Everybody put your phone in this cardboard box. It was, in fact, a cardboard box I got at the dollar store. We had a little post-it note on the inside of it where we would keep track of the time that we got back together as a family. And then it started to be kind of a competition. And then they wanted to reach a certain goal of how many hours we could go tech-free. And let me tell you, the parents will have a much harder time with this than the kids. Kids are usually more willing to engage in that than the parents. We're like, but what about work? But what about, you know, if there's an emergency? What about my recipe that's on my phone? You will survive tech-free. We all did growing up, and somehow we're here to live to tell the tale. We could all do with going tech-free. You can also take a walk down memory lane. Pull out old photo albums. This generation, they love things that are vintage. So if you are hosting teenagers for the holiday, let me tell you, get out your old photo albums. You know what kind I'm talking about. The kind that are magnetic, you know, that have like the sticky page that you pull the plastic off of and then have those brown and white lines because they've aged and the pictures are all stuck to the page. Those are the ones that I'm talking about. I'm telling you, if you put those in front of a teenager and just say, hey, I thought you might want to look at some old pictures, You have to steel your ego because there's going to be some laughing. There's going to be some, did you really wear this? And oh, maybe, by the way, do you still have this? Because I would love to wear this. Maybe might be what you hear. So that's a great idea. Sometimes, again, here's where we have to shift our focus from making monetary investments to making memory investments. We think, oh my goodness, there's going to be teenagers at my house. What in the world am I going to do? I don't have a video game console. I don't have a charcuterie board. I don't have, and by the way, if my husband's listening, that's like fancy meat and cheese that's on a board, just in case you're wondering what is charcuterie, right? No, but we can think of memory investments. So maybe it's old notes that you have that are folded. Let's pull out something vintage that you have and let the teenagers explore it. That would be a great way to create a memory. Here's another idea. Maybe have a gratitude dinner or a gratitude themed evening, especially as we're going into Thanksgiving. I really want you to think, how are you going to help your family be intentionally grateful? And by family, I mean whoever will be at your table for the Thanksgiving dinner. If that's your friends, if that's your neighbors, if that's your family, your friends that are family, like family, how are you going to intentionally express thanks? I've shared one of the ways my family does that is we just have a little note card. I'm talking note cards from the dollar store. I am not the Pinterest person. I have lots of friends who are. That's my advice to you, that for those of you who aren't Pinterest people, be friends with people who are, because they'll help you with their creativity. But just, we put somebody's name at the top of it. We pass it around. And everybody writes one thing that they're thankful for about that person. Well, there's usually 10 or so people or even more than that at my Thanksgiving table. And by the time we finish, you get a card back that really warms your heart. So what is that way going to be? You know, is that going to be you all write something down, put it in a jar? pull it out and try to guess who wrote what. That can be a fun way to do it. There are all kinds of intentional ways. Maybe that's a family journal that you start for Thanksgiving, that every Thanksgiving you just write down the things you're grateful for in that year. What has God done in your family? What are you grateful for? And you can share that in that way. So I challenge you. What way are you going to help your family to say thank you and do that in a way that's investing and making a memory? It's not about the perfect turkey. It's not. I promise. It's not about the perfect tablescape. Although some people who are gifted in that, wow, can they really bless others? It's so nice to walk in and see something that someone has done out of the gift of their creativity. But if that's not your gift, that's okay. That'll be all right too. We read in the Bible, scripture tells us in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now listen, that's not just about teaching values and faith. That's about how showing your kids how to live a life full of love, laughter, and connection, because you build those memories that they take on to their family, and they build those same memories with the same kinds of connections. So again, I'm challenging you to make the choice to invest in memories. I want you to build a legacy of laughter and love that your kids will carry with them long after the latest gadget has gone out of style. Because at the end of the day, the best things in life really aren't things. They're the moments we share with the people we love most. And while you're making those memories, the other challenge that I have for you today is to choose connection over perfection. I heard this in a conversation with Derek England this week. He is the executive director for Family ID. We've had him on the show before in April, and he's going to be on an upcoming show. And he said that, and honestly, it just stopped me in my tracks, because I'm a firstborn. I'm an achiever. I definitely have a problem with perfectionism. But especially in this holiday season, resist the urge. Do not obsess over pictures where you don't look perfect. Don't refuse to be in pictures because you don't look perfect. Don't stress yourself out trying to figure out how am I going to afford the perfect gift. Don't lose your sense of contentment longing for that perfect Christmas card worthy family moment. The beauty of Christmas is not in perfectly set tables, in flawless decorations, and in Instagram-worthy moments. It is in the love we share and the grace we extend and the joy that we find in simply being together. Listen, Jesus came into this world humbly in a manger to show us that the greatest gifts are found in connection with the imperfection of humanity. So let go of the pressure to have it all just right. It doesn't need to be perfect. Embrace the beautiful, messy moments that make your family unique. Choose to laugh over the burnt cookies. Choose to cherish the chaos of children running around like crazy. And find peace in knowing that God's love is at the heart of every memory you create. After all, His grace is the only thing that will make all of those moments truly perfect. The only thing. Well, I'll be talking more about this on Friday, so be sure to listen in. And if you've missed the other 47 habits we've covered so far this year, you can check out the Dr. Nurse Mama Coaching Minutes on AFR.net, AFR's app, or any podcast platform. And so until next time, friends, when we talk about the next habit, go out there for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, and make some memories that will last a lifetime. It's an investment you will never regret. Don't go away. We got a great story for you about Operation Christmas Child coming up. You healed a broken hearted. You set the captive free. You lift the heavy burden. Impossible. Welcome back, friends. That is Impossible Things by Chris Tomlin. And we're having a great show today. We've talked to M.D. Perkins about the release of Culture Warrior, the documentary that really details the life and the mission of Don Wildman and the founding of the American Family Association. You can watch that at culturewarrior.movie. It's available for free to the public. We've also talked about this week's healthy habit, which is investing in memory making. Don't just leave it up to chance. Be intentional about investing in memory making. And before we leave that topic completely, as I was talking about one of the things, it really reminded me to tell you, I want to emphasize in case you missed it, don't be afraid to be in pictures this holiday. A message for all the mamas, especially. I can be one of those mamas who hate the way they look in pictures. Listen, kids are not going to see your imperfections. They are going to see you visible, woven into the tapestry of their lives. So I just want to do a specific call out to that. But as we're approaching this Christmas season, pictures or no pictures, we have an incredible opportunity to share love and hope with children around the world through Operation Christmas Child. So imagine this, a simple shoebox packed with small gifts, toys, and essentials that opens the door to joy for a child in need. And even more, it can introduce them to the greatest gift of all, the love of Jesus Christ. This is not just about giving toys. It's about making a difference. Each shoebox is a message of hope, a tangible reminder that someone across the world cares for them, is praying for them. And through this program, kids not only receive gifts, but the chance to learn about God's love through a discipleship program that transforms lives. And so today we have for you Livia Young, and she was impacted by Operation Christmas Child. For 10 years of her life, Livia lived in a Romanian orphanage among unloved fellow orphans and caregivers, and she vividly remembers the change that came into her life at age 12 through a simple shoebox gift. Livia, we're so grateful to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Livia, why don't you tell us your story?
Yeah, I am from Romania. I grew up the first 2 years of my biological mom, but it has reached a breaking point where she could not afford to take care of me, and she placed me in an orphanage at the time, 1989. Even though it was considered one of the best orphanages at the time, I did not see it as a best orphanage. So as a child living there for 10 years of my life, it was quite brutal, I guess I could say the least. It was challenging. It was terrifying. It was scary. It was just something that I would not wish upon any other children to live in, the conditions that I have lived in. For example, the fact that we did not have the proper hygiene items really impacted the health being of the children in there, not brushing our teeth on a daily basis, sharing the toothbrush, taking a bath once a week, even taking baths after 5 or 10 children in the same bathtub water. It was like a competition trying to see who could be there first. Birthdays were not celebrated, so none of us knew how old we were. We knew of the birthdays, but because we went to public schools and learned about it, but we never were celebrated. Christmas would come around, and I remember receiving gifts, and it was something that people were very generous with to the orphanage, but it was something that we would never actually get to hold on to. It was always taken away or had to be shared with somebody, and it's just nothing we had in our possession that could truly belong to just that one individual child. Overall, Christianity was absolutely forbidden. Even the word itself, no one would dare say it. We, the orphanage and teachers, have been taught to hate Christians and to not partake in any Christianity, wow, religion, as they called it back then. We were protected from the people who would try to tell us the gospel and just teach us that we can gain our way to heaven by doing good. I'm talking about to the point where we practice daily rituals of kneeling on our knees, reciting the Lord's Prayer, kissing pictures of Jesus being on the cross, facing a direction thinking we're facing Jesus, but that was never the case, and we never were explained who the man on the cross was. We just had no idea, and we just did these things for many, many, many years before we ever heard the true gospel.
Wow. Well, yeah. Tell us about the day that you received your Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift. What was that like?
Yeah. So after 10 years of living in the orphanage, a rainbow, going through the storm for 10 years, a rainbow decided to shine up on my life. By 1999, I was 12 years old, and I'll never forget when Operation Christmas Child came to our orphanage, they came with shoeboxes. Now, mind you, I have mentioned that we were forbidden from hearing the gospel, but somehow the Lord made it a possible way. He showed up in such a mighty way I have never seen. I'm talking about, because of the shoeboxes, they were able to enter the gates of the orphanage. The shoeboxes is what brought the workers' attention to, like, oh yeah, come on in, and never knowing what was the reasoning behind it all. So all the children, of course, were all excited, and we can't wait to receive the shoebox gift in our own personal hands. But I remember, as long as I lived in the orphanage, I had two big dreams, was to have my very own set of hair clips and to have someone to love me. That's all I cared for. And that day, God revealed everything to me. When I received my gift, I remember sitting down. It was a hot summer day, because sometimes, I guess, shoeboxes take a while to get through customs. But it was a hot summer day, but I was filled with hope. I was filled with love in ways I have not expected it to experience it. And so this lady named Connie, who happened to hand me the shoebox gift, I remember opening it. And at the top above the entire shoebox itself, I just could not imagine that I saw a big packet of hair clips. Like, what? No way. And at the time, I had short hair because we all had lice, and it was just absolutely uncontrollable. And I did not care what my hair length was. I was just so excited to have them all. And I put them all in my hair. Mm. I probably may have looked like a porcupine, but I was just so ecstatic to have my very own set of hair clips. And of course, looking through the shoebox at the time in 1999, found my own personal hygiene items that meant the world as well. And the final piece that really tugged at my heart was a best friend's necklace. Now, this necklace was not some fancy necklace. It had a piece of yarn, and it was made out of plastic, but it had vibrant colors that really stood out to me, neon pink and neon yellow. It was a best friend's necklace you could share with your other best friend. And, of course, I think every child who received the shoebox gift, who they connected with on that day, felt compelled to share a piece of that shoebox with that one individual they encountered with. And I felt compelled to share that necklace, half of that best friend's necklace, with Connie. And I told her I love in her own language, and just was willing to share my shoebox with her to express my gratitude. But let me tell you one thing. That day that I received the shoebox, it was not just about the box itself. I also heard the gospel for the very first time. And at the age of 12, to hear the fact how much Jesus loves me and that he died on the cross for my sin, that my sins be washed away through his blood, that I will one day grow and nourish myself and become a believer, and one day get to gain access to heaven, just really opened up my eyes and realized that I don't have to have people on earth to love me. I don't have to work for a worker to love me or to give me attention. I already have someone who loves me every day. And that just spoke so much volume into my life. It has really brought my thinking at a different level to understand and to have peace about it, that I am loved no matter what. And that's one of the biggest things that stood out to me the most.
Oh my goodness. You know, I am sitting here with goosebumps all over and tears in my eyes, Livia, hearing your beautiful story. And I think one of the most miraculous things about it is that somewhere in the world, somebody just picked up hair clips and they put them in a shoebox. Mm-hmm. That was it. I'm sure they didn't think, oh, these hair clips are going to change someone's life. But that is the power of the God that we serve, Livia, that he invites us into service and to partnership with him, that he knew you. He knew everything about you. He knew exactly what you would need. And with God, there is no coincidence. And he takes those small little steps of obedience and uses it to transform lives. Mm-hmm. Well, how did receiving this shoebox make an impact on your life and then, you know, really connect you later to Operation Christmas Child? Because here you are talking with us. Did you ever see that coming?
No, definitely did not see that coming. And I love that. I love how God showed up in ways I have never seen it could possibly even make my dreams come true. So as I mentioned earlier in the story, I longed to be loved. I did not know how much love I was looking for till I found Jesus, right? But God provided me such a tangible item, that best friend's necklace, that we ended up sharing the necklace with each other, right? And mm-hmm. so God, the minute I told Connie that I loved her in her own language, God clearly made it vivid to her and told her in her ear that she is going to be my mother and I was going to be her daughter. Now, pause and think, listeners out there, here listening in the radio station. When we pack the shoebox, I don't think we can comprehend the vast impact that God can use the shoeboxes for each child. I never thought that me receiving a shoebox could have my very own hair clips, could hear the gospel and bring me hope for the rest of my life and be known that I am loved for the rest of my life. But God wanted to give me also a tangible family here on earth who can love me unconditionally. Because of that one shoebox, because that one person decided to pack it and not knowing that it could have that drastic of an impact in my life. So yes, 2 years later, Connie came back to Romania and picked me up. And at the age of 14, I came to the United States. And soon after, my grandmother was a year-round volunteer and she promoted me. So everyone, she knew that I have received the shoebox gift because we also have a small story tied to each other as well in regards to shoebox. And so ever since then, in 2004, I have been super active with Operation Christmas Child, going out on a distribution trip and just really being able to see myself truly in the eyes of another child receiving a shoebox gift. And since then, I've just been hooked on speaking for them and letting all the volunteers be aware that these shoeboxes do go into the darkest places, that a child is longing to be heard, to be listened, to be loved on, whether in a tangible way or whether through hearing the gospel. This just really had major an impact in my life, and I wanted to give back to the volunteers to hear how big of an impact and how present God is in this ministry.
That is just absolutely unbelievable. And now you are creating those stories for children for generations to come. And, you know, the beautiful thing about this is that God makes this work for generation to generation. You know, Livia, think about the way that your life changed, completely changed your family, mm-hmm. changed everything going forward. Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely incredible. So what advice would you give to our listeners who are either participating or thinking about participating or haven't thought about it, but really should? What should they be thinking about and praying for as they participate in packing a shoebox to send through Operation Christmas Child?
Most certainly. I think we need to be thinking about how much we have here. I mean, we here in the United States are so beyondly blessed. And I think we're in such a good season right now in giving back. Like, why wouldn't we just give back the blessings that God has given us and go and bless others who don't have anything and proclaiming the name of Jesus to this ministry? So I would say, just go have fun with this ministry. You don't have to make it difficult. Go have fun. Go to the Dollar General. Go to Walmart Value Place aisle, whatever it is. Go have fun and shop for the things that just bring you joy, things that bring joy to your children that other children may enjoy, adding a soccer ball or a hat, gloves, jump rope, doll, whatever the case is. Make fun out of it. Take your children out with you and let them pick what they would like to put in a shoebox gift. It's so easy to give back. It's so easy to be a missionary. If we're thinking about it, we are being missionaries in our own house without having to pay thousands of dollars to travel when we can do it from our own home.
Well, I will be doing that from my own home this very evening, Livia. I am taking my boxes. I have four kids at home, so I took four boxes, and I packed one to mirror each of my kids. I have two girls, two boys, and so
That's awesome.
Two for girls, two for boys, because I think if I'm going to steward Christmas and have Christmas here with my family, with my kids, why can't I have four kids around the world? I actually sponsor four kids around the world, too, because I just feel convicted. And I'll tell you, even as I was shopping, I could hear the Lord speaking to me, saying, yes, that one, pick that one. That's it. And yes. I just said, God, yes. Allow me to buy the right thing. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, you can be a part of a story like Livia's. Collection Week is going on right now through November 25th. Mm-hmm. You have a little bit more time left. Go to SamaritansPurse.org. That's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Pack a shoebox and send it. I can't wait to hear about it. If you do, email me and let me know. info@drnursemama.com. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you as you're packing that shoebox. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.